So good morning, everyone. I'd like to begin the Upper District meeting this May 27th, 9 a.m. And we'll go to the agenda. The first action is item number one, the Pledge of Allegiance. So Ruben, can you run the audio? Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Excellent. Thank you. We'll go to item number two, and I'll call the roll for the board of directors. So if you're here, please signify by saying aye.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I guess that was for... Monday's Memorial Day, too, so we threw in an extra one.
Yeah. That was a nice one.
Okay. So
he does that so well.
There you go. So let's go to item number two, roll call. So if you're here, say that you're here. Director Santana?
Here.
Director Fellow?
Here.
Director Trevino?
Here.
Director Contreras?
Here.
And then myself, Director Chavez is here. So let the record show that all five members are present for this meeting this morning. Go to item number three, the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion?
So moved. Second.
It's been moved by Contreras, seconded by Fellows to adopt the agenda as presented. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, we'll take a roll call vote for approval. Director Santana?
Yes.
Director Fellow?
Yes.
Director Trevino?
Yes.
Director Contreras?
Yes.
And Director Chavez is a yes as well. So it passes 5-0. We'll go to item number four.
You know, the fact is those dark spots did make Penny feel older than she actually was. And, you know, I was helpless because I didn't have a solution at the time.
That was back in 2002. Today, my wife Penny's skin looks as youthful and even as it did 20 years ago.
Damn, I didn't know what my dark spots were showing.
And that was brought to you by our sponsors who sponsored.
That was funny, Charles.
Ruben, was that coming from your computer? I just want to make sure that we weren't having an external problem.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't.
Okay, we're good to go now, I think.
Okay. All right.
Okay. It's a commercial.
All right. Hopefully we don't have any more sponsors coming up. We'll go to item number four, the public hearing. And let me just look at this. So at this time, we'll open up the public hearing. And Attorney O'Neill, do you have a statement to say?
No, this is the annual standby charge that the board adopts, has adopted previously. As you may recall, there was an original amount which was reduced, and then recently the board took action to increase the standby charge, but still within the original authorized amount. This is part of the process that the board has to file pursuant to the water code and the government code requirements for adopting the standby charge. At this time, this is the public hearing for an opportunity for the board to hear to get any comment and consider any comments from the public concerning the standby charge.
Okay, thank you. And then just a note that we do have Mark Risco from Wildan Financial Services available to answer any questions, if anybody has any questions from the board or the public. Mr. Love, do you have a comment?
To date, we have received no written comments regarding the standby charge.
Okay. We will now accept public comments from the public. Anyone wishing to speak may do so at this time.
And for those who are participating, if you use the hand raise feature so we can unmute you, or again, if you are on the telephone, dial *9, and that will give us a virtual hand raise for you. Mr. Chairman, at this point, I don't see any public comments.
Thank you. Does the board have any questions or comments at this time?
It's just a basic routine that we do on an annual basis. There's no increases. Nothing's changing other than changing the date and the year.
That's correct. Seeing and hearing no other comments, and we'll now close the public hearing and continue with our regular meeting. And then we'll go to item number 5, let's see, which is adjourned to the regular meeting. Then we'll go to item number 6. Item number 6 is public comments. Anyone wishing to discuss items should do so now. The board of directors may allow additional input during the meeting. A 3-minute time limit on remarks is requested. So anyone in the public wishing to address the board may do so at this time.
Good morning, President Chavez. We don't have any public comments at this time. We will keep an eye for hands raised throughout the meeting.
Okay. Thank you. So noted. We'll go to item number 7, consent calendar. We have one item there, approve the minutes of the regular meeting of May 13th. Is there a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So move from Trevino.
Second from Contreras.
It's been moved by Trevino, seconded by Contreras to approve the consent calendar as presented. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll take a roll call vote. Director Santana?
Aye.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Contreras?
Aye.
And President Chavez, aye. Passes 5-0. We'll go to item number 8. We have two items before us. Item number 8A is to adopt an ordinance number 20-1 imposing standby charges for fiscal year commencing July 1st, 2020. There is a recommendation. Board, how would you like to proceed on this?
Motion to approve.
Second.
It's been moved by Fellow, seconded by Trevino. Any discussions or any questions? Hearing none, let's take a roll call vote. Director Santana?
Aye.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Contreras?
Aye.
And Director Chavez, aye. It passes 5-0 unanimously. We'll go to item number 8B, which is the Main San Gabriel Basin Watermaster Annual Report and the San Gabriel River Watermaster Annual Report overall. We have our engineer, Steve Johnson, to help us with this report. So, Steve, can you go ahead and give us your presentation?
Sure. Thank you, President Chavez. Good to see you all. It actually is really good to see you all. This is an amazing technology to be able to see everybody like we're in person, but I got to tell you, I miss everybody. I miss our in-person meetings. I think I'm just like everybody else. We need to get back to where we're meeting and get to see people because I miss all you guys. This was put together between our office and your executive officer, Tom, and your engineer, Robert Talk. So we kind of put this together. It's developed over the last several weeks, got postponed once because I had the schedule conflict. I promised Tom that I could do this in 20 minutes. And as you guys all know, sometimes when I start talking, I just keep talking. And if I have something I have to cover, sometimes I talk really fast. So I'm going to really try to not talk fast, but try to get through this at a pace that's reasonable and you can understand it and still get it done in hopefully like 20 minutes. We talked yesterday, and I think what we've decided or we settled on was that as I'm going through this presentation, if the board members have questions, somebody just stop me, Tom, or somebody just have, you know, say, hold on for a second, we have a question. As we go through, the board can ask questions and stop for clarification. When we get all done, it might be better to wait till we get all done, and then if you want to ask any of the participants in the meeting that are remote or attendees, if they have questions, we can do that. But otherwise, if we try to do everybody as we go along, it may just take too long. But certainly we want to make sure if the board or the board staff or anybody in our district has questions or clarifications to make, we can stop for a second and do just that. So I think Ruben is going to control the PowerPoint. And I guess I'll just mention, Ruben, when I'm ready, I'll go to the next PowerPoint, and I'm ready. There we go. So this is what we're going to cover today. Overall, I know the title sounded more like just annual reports, but what we really are putting together is sort of a basin management, San Gabriel Basin, Main San Gabriel Basin management overview, briefing, 101, whatever you want to call it. It's an overview of the whole management. Included in this overview are the annual reports for the San Gabriel River Water Master and San Gabriel Basin Water Master. At the end of the overview of how they work, we've also included current information on the annual reports. We originally set this thing up chronologically. Long Beach Judgment came first, then Main San Gabriel Basin followed. After some discussion with Tom, actually Tom's suggestion, he said, you know, he suggested that we include some very, very basic information about the Raymond Basin. So you'll see we've added the Raymond Basin. Very sketchy stuff. It's really just to explain to everybody where it is, how it, a little bit how it operates, and how it overlaps into the main basin operations. So I think it's a good addition. Then we got to go to just current activities, your 2020 IRP, which we're working on, and your 2020 Urban Water Management Plan, which was in front of your Water Resources Management Committee just yesterday. So if we can go to the next PowerPoint. This is the Long Beach Judgment. So we're going to start off with just the Long Beach Judgment. Big picture on the Long Beach Judgment. I've brought to the board, so you've seen this for the last few years. Every year we bring the results of the San Gabriel River Water Master's work on the Long Beach Judgment to show the results of the accounting system for managing the requirements of the Long Beach Judgment. The Long Beach Judgment is really an allocation of the water of the San Gabriel main, of the San Gabriel River watershed. And it's an allocation between the upper area, which is above Whittier Narrows, and the lower area, which is below Whittier Narrows, an allocation of that water, both groundwater and surface water. So that's the big picture of what the Long Beach Judgment is for. And I'm going to walk you through a little bit of how we got there. You can see the original complaint was filed in back in 1959. So it's a long time ago. I was just barely born. I was born about four or five years before that. So it was entered a long, long time ago. The plaintiffs, those are the ones who filed the action. That's for Stephen Leo, in case you didn't understand what the plaintiffs were. Hi, Steve. The plaintiffs filed the action. Those are the folks that are below Whittier Narrows. As you would expect, the folks that are receiving the water or not receiving the water are generally the ones that get a little bit upset when things aren't working out right. So they filed the action to bring some level of fairness into the operation of the water supplies of the watershed. So the plaintiffs were originally Central Basin, City of Long Beach, City of Compton. Just recently, within the last 2 years, for various reasons down there, I don't even need to go into what's going on down there in Central Basin for various reasons. The Water Replenishment District of Southern California, which generally manages the groundwater basin down in the Central Basin, took over all the responsibilities of the lower area. So they basically intervened for all the plaintiffs. So they're now the folks we work with is WRD. It works out fine for us. We work well with WRD, so not a big deal. Oh, but that just happened. Defendants originally were San Gabriel Valley Water Company and then 24 other producers. Basically, the producers at the time in the San Gabriel Basin were defendants because they were basically pumping the water above the narrows that was depleting the amount of water coming to the narrows and through the narrows. During the actual court action, the upper district was asked by the producers in the upper area to intervene on their behalf. Purpose of that really was to centralize the adjudication action and the action in the court, so that it would go through one agency, the upper district, and then the upper district could disseminate information to the producers. It was to facilitate, you know, the handling of the case for the upper area. The primary complaints that were made, we've got listed there as the San Gabriel River system flows had been inadequate to supply the diversions, extractions of both plaintiffs and defendants, which we're talking about upper and lower area, and that decreased water levels in the upper area, and this is the area just above Whittier Narrows, decreased water levels due to pumping and due to use of water in the upper area. The water levels have been reduced to a point that rising water, we used to see rising water at the Narrows, because the way the Narrows is, there's a Narrows at Whittier Narrows, and the ground subsurface structure, the bedrock, actually comes up a bit, so it's shallow there. There's a big trough below that as it comes up. It actually used to push up, and we'd see water coming out of the ground at the Narrows, and this is what the lower area folks saw. They saw the water coming out of the ground. And then over time, as water levels were depleted by all of our water use in the upper area, that rising water down in that area disappeared. And so they saw there was a problem, and then they saw water levels in their wells dropping. So they filed the action. Again, we include at the very bottom of the upper district intervened in the Long Beach case as a defendant, primarily to incorporate the provisions of the Long Beach judgment. And one of the major provisions of the Long Beach judgment are, and it's called the reimbursement contract, are that if the lower area, the folks below Whittier Narrows, the plaintiffs, if they don't get their adjudicated amount or their predetermined amount of water each year, and it changes every year, if they don't get the amount of water they're supposed to, then there has to be a mechanism by which they get that water. And so the upper district intervened to make sure that they do get their water. As part of that, then the water master eventually implemented a makeup water assessment on producers that is solely for the purpose of accumulating money to make sure there are funds available to buy water if we have a debit to the lower area in Long Beach judgment. Over the last several years, we've carried a large credit. The makeup water assessment that Watermaster has on the books has not been assessed for probably 20 years. It's still on the books, but it's just not assessed because we have a huge credit. So we go to the next one. The final judgment was entered in 1965. Bottom line, which I've kind of mentioned, is that the physical solution that was put together it ended up in a fair division of the water supply of the San Gabriel River system. That's the watershed between the upper and lower area. That's the whole idea, is a fair division. It's done. It's done on an engineering basis, hydrogeologic basis. The engineers that worked on that developed a system that is still very, very effective and accurate today. So we go to the next one. This is kind of a complicated map. We included it because it's part of the judgment. And at a bigger version, at a full-size version, you can actually see all of the facilities that we use to measure flow between upper area and lower area. If you look right to the middle where it's kind of dark and you can see Whittier Narrows Dam right there in the middle, and then there's an area where a little arch right in the middle, but right in the middle of that map, that's basically the Narrows. Above that is the San Gabriel Basin. Below that is the Central Basin. So this really shows the area where all the measurements are made to determine how much water is delivered between the upper area and the lower area. So it's a very, very important map. It's kind of a technical map. It's not really a good graphic map to follow, but the engineers and the staff, the folks that do the work, we use this map every day to implement the judgment and make sure that we're doing it right. So that's really, I hate to show that because it's very hard to read, but if we need anybody that wants to look at a large copy, we can always print a full size copy. You can actually look at it and see what we're doing there. So, yes.
The judgment, if I'm correct, covers both the Rio Hondo and the San Gabriel watershed. Whereas today the county manages those two as separate watersheds?
Yes.
So the San Gabriel River judgment covers the Rio Hondo watershed?
Yes, it does, but a portion of the Rio Hondo does go to the north and go to the LA River, goes out of our basin. Part of it does come down into the main basin. They are connected, but yeah, we manage what comes down through the San Gabriel River system. Next PowerPoint. So this is a bit of a cartoon, but it basically gives you a profile. We call it a cross section view of the San Gabriel watershed at to the Narrows and then to the lower area. So you see in the little ponds there, you see the water bearing area for the main basin, and then you see the Narrows, that little mountain there. There's mountains on both sides, but there is a Narrows there, and then you see below that is a water bearing area of the lower area. As you work your way up the canyon, you'll recognize up to the right, up into the canyon, you'll recognize some important features. You see Cogswell Dam at the top, San Gabriel Dam next, and that holding water back. Then you see Morris Dam. I think most of you have been to Morris Dam. You see Morris Dam there. Then you see the mouth of the canyon. This is where it actually comes out of the canyon. San Gabriel Canyon Spreading Grounds, which where San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District puts a lot of their water up in the San Gabriel Canyon Spreading Grounds. And a lot of the water that comes out of the canyon goes through those San Gabriel Canyon Spreading Grounds, overfills, it comes down the basin. Then you're down to where the real action occurs, Foothill Boulevard, Santa Fe Spreading Grounds, Santa Fe Dam and the Santa Fe Spreading Grounds. And the Santa Fe Spreading Grounds, you can see where it sits in our upper basin at the upper end, and that's why saying the Santa Fe Spreading Grounds are so important for spreading our water, both local and imported water. We try to put as much water as we can into the Santa Fe Spreading Grounds because from a physical position, it sits at the upper portion of our basin up near the mouth of the canyon. So all of the water that goes in at Santa Fe is able to percolate deep into our basin and replenish our basin and not be lost down in through Whittier Narrows. We get good percolation there, good basin replenishment. So it's really kind of a cartoon, but it gives you a picture, a visual picture of how the basin works and how the reservoirs up in the canyon actually work. Another feature right in the middle of our basin is Valley Boulevard. Just to note, there is a rubber dam there right on the river channel. And when we have flows that are manageable, the county will raise that rubber dam and hold those flows back so that we can replenish upper basin as much as possible. And when we have very, very high flows, or it's dry, but if we have very, very high flows, we'll lower that rubber dam and let the water flow on down into central basin. So,
Steve.
Yes.
President Chavez, before you move on this slide, can you identify the three freeways, the 210, the 10, and the 60 freeway along this map here?
Okay. Approximately, the 60 freeway will be very near Whittier Narrows Dam, maybe just up to the right of it, would be going in and out of the page. Okay. So that would be the 60 freeway. The 10 is probably near Valley Boulevard, because Valley Boulevard is right in that area, probably a little bit. No, you got to point it right there, right into that area.
Yes. Okay.
And then as you move to the right, you've got Foothill Boulevard and Santa Fe Spreading Grounds. And as you know, the 210 freeway runs right through that area. You actually look over and see the Santa Fe Dam and the springs right there, so right into that area. So about in thirds across the basin there.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet. So the next one, a little bit of still on background, lower area parties. This is out of the judgment and who it includes, the plaintiffs, all the persons, firms, corporations, everybody down there represented by the Water Replenishment of Southern California, an indication that they did intervene. Upper area parties, pretty much the same definition, and then upper district intervene. Just a note there under upper district, the first bullet point, it used to be that upper district actually – through your assessments that you have and the money you collected, taxes, whatever the district has. Years ago, it used to be upper district actually paid the invoice for the river water master judgment to implement the judgment, the work that's done. Some years back, we all realized that probably didn't make sense because upper district is basically representing the producers. So the water master now reimburses upper district for that. So upper district, I believe upper district still pays the invoice, but Watermaster reimburses Upper District for those costs because you're really, the Upper District is really doing it representing the producers. So there's a note there on that first bullet point. The next one is the creation of the Technical River Watermaster. Much different than the Main Basin Watermaster, which really, the Main Basin Watermaster makes some very, very important technical decisions, but most of their decisions that are made are quasi-technical and policy. And you notice that on our Watermaster board, we have a lot of policymakers. We got managers of water systems, and we got directors of the responsible agencies of your age, of like Upper District. So, and I'll go to that in a minute. But the River Watermaster really has no participation in any policy matters that are made. The River Watermaster is a pure technical watermaster. The folks that represent the watermaster, there's three of them, three River Watermasters, are all engineers. And all we do at the River Watermaster is technical work. All we do is assure the accounting is correct and complete and that we're complying with the provisions of the Long Beach judgment in regards to the fairness of sharing the water of the watershed, of Shame River watershed, sharing that water between the upper and the lower area. So the technical, pardon?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
When you say a sharing of the water, is it based on just a straight percentage, or what is the metric used for that?
That's a very good question. I'm going to come to that in just a minute and show you exactly how it's done and give you a really good example of how it was done this year.
Perfect.
It's coming just right next. So you guys, I think you all know who the upper area representative. I'm the upper area representative. I replaced Tom Stetson, who started this company. Tom Stetson was an original member back in 59 when it was set up. He helped write the physical solution. And then when the adjudication occurred, he was appointed the representative of the upper area. He was the upper area representative until he stepped down and I took his place. The lower area representative is Richard Roan. He used to work for Bookman Edmondson. He replaced Max Bookman, who was, again, an original member with Tom Stetson. Max Bookman and Tom Stetson, basically the two engineers, wrote the physical solution of the Long Beach judgment. And it's still, I marvel at amazing how good a job they did, how accurate it still is today. BE is Bookman Edmondson, is now Navigant, but that's Richard Roan. The third one is an independent, so we have an upper area, a lower area, then we have a neutral. And the third member has rotated through the years because folks have either passed away or they've got too old or retired and we've had to replace them. We used to favor using a retired chief and engineer of the L.A. County Department of Public Works Flood Control, a retired chief engineer of flood control, and we had several of those as the years went on. The last time we had one step down, we didn't have a county person, and it makes sense because we use a lot of information from county flood control and public works. We use a lot of information on flow and their gauging stations. We coordinate very, very closely with the county on the work we do. So it made a lot of sense that we had one of their representatives on our Watermaster to help us work with the county. The last time we had our neutral representative step down, we didn't have a county representative available. We actually went through a pretty rigorous search, and we ended up selecting and getting appointed Bob Gorelli. He is retired executive officer of the Regional Water Quality Control Board in L.A., the L.A. Division, and most recently just retired as the assistant general manager of the Orange County Sanitation District. So Bob is a very, very qualified guy, and he's a very bright and very good individual. So those are the three current members of the Technical Watermaster. Next slide, please. Oh, we got it. Yeah, we're in time. Here we go. This is part of Director Santana's question. Lower area entitlement. How do we figure out what they're entitled to each year? We do our accounting on a water year, which is different. I'm going to make note of this. So the folks who don't, there's reasons why people did this years ago. But it really makes it confusing for people who don't work in the water business. They established a water year accounting because the water year rainfall in California kind of starts in October. That's the water year. So they changed the year from calendar year, from fiscal year to a water year now. And so they have a water year that they use. It's kind of crazy because it's still the same number 12 months, but they like to use it. Anyway, somebody else did it. It's from October through September. We do our accounting on the water year basis. The reason why that's important is because you'll see an annual report after September when all the data is collected. You'll see an annual report maybe a month and a half or 2 months after September. So you'll see an annual report a lot of times in December, whereas most annual reports are done on a fiscal year sometime after June 30 or a calendar year sometime after December 31st. But ours is on a weird basis. But anyway, that's just important for the fact that's where our numbers come from. So the lower area entitlement, how much water is the lower area entitled to? And that is total between surface water flowing through that they can serve and groundwater. It's based on a rolling 10-year average of rainfall for selected stations. There was originally four stations selected in the original judgment. Several of those have had to be replaced because their locations have been moved. They're usually at public agencies, and sometimes public agencies move, or the station goes out of service, or for whatever reason. So we've periodically had to replace these rainfall gauging stations. And we work very hard because the judgment specifies that if we have to replace a facility like that, a gauging station, which is important, obviously those stations are important because they set the entitlement. We are tasked with trying to duplicate that original rain gauge site as close as we can. And some of the work that goes on into that is obviously looking for other rain gauging stations in the area and then looking at historic rain gauge measurements from these alternative rain gauge stations and comparing those to the rain gauge that we're going to lose and make sure we have a correlation, make sure it is an appropriate replacement to a rain gauge before we actually select it and put it into our judgment, into our accounting to use that rain gauge station. And typically, if we have two or three that we are checking to make sure they match the one we're going to replace, typically we'll average those two or three for several years before we will finally select one gauge to use as our new gauging station. So it's a very, very important process of selection and monitoring our gauging stations to make sure that they are accurate and correct and working properly.
And Steve, the record on those rain gauges goes back to 1872. It's a very long rainfall record.
Maybe that's not correct.
The stations, but they based their decisions and the judgment on rainfall records that went back to 1872.
That's correct. Based upon the annual average rainfall from those four stations, which is really just a calculation, once we settle on the station and we have the annual rainfall, we just average them together and we get a number. So it's pretty simple. Once you do all the hard work of getting it all set up, it's a simple calculation. So it's an average of those four rain gauge stations for the water year. We then go to a chart that was created by those smart guys, Tom Stetson and Max Bookman. We go to a chart called Table A. And Ruben, if we could go two more, I'll just go forward and then come back. We go two forward again. One more, right there. There's table A. So if you look at this table, you see rainfall, inches of rainfall on the left, 14, 15, up to 24. And then you got tenths across. So if you look at the first one, which is 14, and you move over to 0.5, you'll see 68,000. I'm going to show you in a minute how that correlates to this year's accounting. This table was put together by the folks back then. We still use it today, and it's a very simple process. What's the average rainfall? We go in here. That's the total annual entitlement of the lower area for that year. So we go back again. Ruben, please. Back one more. There you go. So that's table A. Long-term average. Now, when I say long-term average, this is the long-term average before the judgment was entered. These are the numbers that were used to help create the physical solution for the Long Beach judgment. Long-term annual rainfall for those gauging stations, annual average for all four of those is 18.5. annual entitlement, long-term annual entitlement that got before the judgment was almost 98,500. So almost 100,000 acre feet is what their long-term average entitlement was for the lower area. So basically what we're looking at from the upper area perspective, that's us, okay? That's our obligation long-term to make sure they get out of the San Gabriel River system between subsurface flow and surface flow. So important numbers right there. So next slide. Okay, this is current lower area entitlement. You can see the water year on the left and the inches. Some to point out here are things like 13 and 12, 13, 13, 14, 8 inches, 8 inches, 6.3, then down 17, 18, and we've got 7 inches, very low rainfall. I don't know if it can go up a little bit. I don't know if it can or not. Because you can't see the bottom. You can't see the average at the bottom. Anyway, we total those up. Yeah, we said it was a running average. That's the running average. We don't have any huge rainfall years here, you know, as folks. Those of you kind of kept track over the years. Over the last 20 years, we've had a couple of very large, into the 40s, 40 inches. Well, they're all gone. All we've got is barely over long-term average and several quite a bit below long-term average. So you can't see it here because it's not centered properly, but the total is 144.8 inches. Well, it's 10 years. You can do it in your head. You divide it by 10, it's 14.5 inches, right? That's what it's shown at the bottom. It just doesn't show in yours. So the long, it's a full average.
On our
pardon? Pardon, what was that?
We can see the full screen on our computers.
Oh, you can. I cannot see it. So it's 14.5 inches. So I took you to that table A chart, and I used 14.5 because I knew what it was. The 14.5 is the current 10-year average that we're using for this current year. So if you go to the next sheet, next PowerPoint, take you again to 14 and go over to 0.5, 68,000 acre feet is a long-term entitlement. So you can see how much different that is than the long-term entitlement before the Long Beach judgment, which is almost 100,000. So that means, big picture for us, what that means is our requirement to deliver water to the lower area is not 98,000 or almost 100,000 like long-term average. Based upon the rolling 10-year average, our requirement to deliver water is only 68,000. So anything delivered above that results in a credit to the upper area, which we keep on the books. And you'll see going forward how we do that. So the next one. Okay. Usable water is a defined term in the judgment. Just because water makes it through the narrows at Whittier Narrows, flowing at like within flood flow conditions, just because it makes it through the narrows doesn't necessarily mean we in the upper area get credit for it as delivered usable water. In order to be usable water, it has to be actually conserved in the lower area. They have to actually get it diverted or get it replenished in the basin. And we measure that. They measure it. We measure it. The county measure it. We measure that. So there are years where we deliver water to the narrows when we have heavy rainfall that go right past the spreading grounds in the lower area because they're full and go to the ocean, and we don't get any credit for that. So surface flow has to be replenished in order to be usable water. Subsurface flow is measured based upon, and this is where some of the engineering comes in, that these guys did years ago. It's based upon measuring water levels through the narrows on the upper end and the lower end of the narrows. It's based upon measuring groundwater levels, which basically determines the slope of the water. So the gradient of the water, it's higher on our side and lower on their side, so there's a gradient there. As engineers, if we know the gradient and we know the structure and the profile of the narrows, how deep it is and how wide it is, we can determine through engineering formulas what the flow is through the narrows. So that information was used to develop the subsurface flow criteria. So we have measurements. We measure it twice a year. We average spring and fall. We average those measurements for both sides, upper and lower area. And then we use those measurements to determine what the subsurface flow is. You can see it's typically about 25,000 acre feet. So that's the subsurface flow. The last item is export to lower area. And this isn't new. Clear back at the time when the Long Beach judgment was entered, we had public water systems that straddled the upper and lower area. These public water systems oftentimes would pump water out of the main basin, put it in their distribution system, but it would be served into the lower area on the other side of the narrows to their customers on the other side. So this was recognized that this is water coming out of the main basin that actually gets to the lower area, gets to the area below Whittier Narrows. So a formula was developed. First, accounting was developed to account for that water, and then ultimately an agreement was reached on the limit that of credit the upper area gets for the amount of water that is pumped out of the main basin and actually served by water systems into the lower area. So you can see we are right now pumping around 40,000 acre feet in the main basin and delivering that to people in the lower area, delivering it to customers down there through the public water systems. And these are people like San Gabriel Valley Water Company, Cal Domestic Water Company. These are the folks that do this. About 40,000 acre feet a year. We're only getting credit for about less than 24,000 acre feet credit under the judgment. So there's ways to manage that. We've looked at that. My primary point here is to point out that this is not a new item. This was occurring at the time of the judgment. This is just an accounting measure to consider that this water goes from the upper area to the lower area, and it's included in the accounting for the Long Beach judgment.
Steve, can I ask a question going backwards, please?
Sure.
You mentioned that the annual rainfall is based on 10 years, because I saw a couple years that it was below a 10. In your chart, there's nothing below 14, and it goes to 24.
Correct. So,
therefore, the years that we have 8 inches or 7 inches as shown in the previous chart doesn't make that much difference, because you don't just look at just that one year. You average all 10 years.
That's correct.
Okay, my second question is on the entitlement, upper and lower. So 50-50 or just based on the formula only?
The formula only.
Thank you.
The formula only. The judgment, and here's a key item. That's a very, very good question, Director Contreras. Very good question, because the key component of this judgment, and it's a big picture of it, the key component of this judgment is really one thing. It talks about fairness, but it's really only one thing. It's to ensure that lower area gets their entitlement. No matter what, lower area is going to get their entitlement. Okay, so regardless of what we do up here, based upon the formula, they have to get their water, whether they get it that year because of the water we've delivered, if we delivered enough, or if we don't deliver enough, we have to make it up to them. Regardless of how much water we get or don't get, really doesn't matter. It only matters, the judgment is set up to make sure they get the water that they're entitled to.
Thank you.
And one other quick item, because a point of interest. You mentioned a good point about the chart. We actually, Jenny's here with me, we actually had a year or two ago, two or three years ago, we actually, the long-term average did go off the chart. I mean, the 10-year average. It actually went below the 14 inches for the 10-year average. So we had to go back to the original formulas and determine what the entitlement was, because it went off of the charts. First time ever was a couple of years ago. But that's a very good question, and it's exactly that. This is what they shot for, and, you know, because of the long-term drought we just had, we actually did go off of this chart a couple of years ago.
That was my first question, but glad you answered it.
Yeah, you bet. Okay. So,
I have a question on that previous slide too, actually.
Sure.
The Long Beach judgment, that the very last line there, the limits upper area credit to 23,000 acre feet per year. Does that mean that we cannot have, the upper area cannot have a credit more than that, meaning that we have to release water? That's the maximum amount of credit we can have?
That's the maximum amount of credit we can have for that component, for just the export. We have many, many times on the annual accounted for the BIF, for the whole year, for all of the water delivered, we many times have had a credit much larger than that. But just for that component of export to lower area, for that one component, we cannot have an annual credit of more than 23,395. That's
an annual credit. Okay, so it can accumulate, but just annually, that's the maximum.
Annually, that's the maximum. That's correct.
Okay.
And the idea there, I'm not real happy with it. There's certain things of the judgment that we'd like to change, certain things they'd like to change. In the interest of keeping it going smoothly, we just kind of let those go. But the logic behind this kind of was lower area folks, people who are at the bottom end of an adjudication like this, and we're the same way with people that were below for the people above you, above us in the main basin, like in the Raymond Basin, for example. Lower area folks basically say, look, if you don't like what's leaving your basin, fix it. It's up to you to fix it. We're not going to give you credit for the fact that you're not managing your own basin. So they're basically saying we need to set a limit because we want you to manage your own supplies and not just send all the water to us, force us to manage it, and then give you credit for it. So there is a logic to it, is that the folks at the downstream end generally look to the folks at the upstream's part to manage their supplies. So that's kind of the logic there. Okay, next slide. Annual accounting. So if we have a credit, when we get all done, I showed you the 68,000. If we delivered.
I think that SOS staff, Gabby, you can correct me if I'm wrong, do kind of help.
I got interrupted. But anyway, if we do, I showed you the 68,000 for the annual entitlement for lower area. If we do deliver more than that, okay, we get an annual credit. You can see it's a credit on paper, and it accrues annually. It goes to the next year, it keeps accruing. That's our upper area credit. If we have an annual debit, if we only delivered 50,000 total water to them, like for this year, then it's applied to our credit that we have, would reduce our credit, our accumulated credit. We're also allowed to get to reimburse the lower area for the first 14,735 acre feet of recycled water that they get from the wastewater treatment plant where they use the recycled water system down there. One of under our first obligation, if we do have a debit, and it's obviously the cheapest way for us to go because it's the cheapest water available, is we just reimburse them for the first almost 15,000 acre feet of recycled water that they already get. Very inexpensive, easy to do. We've done it a few times, but as I mentioned, we've had an accumulated credit for so long, we haven't needed to do that. If it goes above the 14 or almost 15,000 acre feet, then as you see at the bottom there, we have to purchase untreated imported water for the lower area. So under the last two, reimbursement of the 15,000 reclaimed water and purchase of untreated imported water, those are items that are paid for on that makeup water assessment I told you Watermaster has on the books but hasn't applied for probably 20 years. Money's – Watermaster still has a fund, a makeup water fund that's sitting there that they sometimes borrow from and repay. They still have a makeup water fund of $10 million, yeah. – of about $10 million for if we ever have a debit that we have to pay for.
So Director – Chavez, President Chavez, can I ask a question?
This is Tony Santanella speaking.
Yes, please do.
So going to this credit, and this has been something, you know, for those of us that have, I don't know, it's been a long time, but in the early 80s, we ran a deficit on that credit. And so that's why we've kept that water, that money aside, and we collected that assessment. But what we've seen in the last few years with the calculation that comes across from the River Water Master is that it's highly unlikely that for several long-term accountings, which I believe, Steve, correct me, it's every 15 years is when that long-term accounting happens, that we're going to run a deficit. So one of the things that we've been trying to drive home to WRD, the lower area folks, is that you know, when we talk about spreading along the river, they get that credit from underflow or surface flow. And then there's also the water that's spread out of the canyon. So one of the things that I haven't been real popular in the distribution committees lately, but I think is a point to raise is that, you know, we have over 100,000 acre feet of credit. I know at one time Director Trevino said to me, well, can we sell that water? And I said, well, the problem is they already have it. So their incentive to pay wouldn't be very great. But we've been pushing very strongly to start looking at that when we look at the overall flows on the river and start chipping away at that credit. That was all I wanted to point out.
Thank you, Tony. That's very, very important information. A couple of those items we're gonna go through right now. I'm gonna show you where we actually had a debit and we had to collect the money of the makeup water and actually pay for quite a bit of water for the lower area. So we've gone through that one. We're gonna go to the next PowerPoint. Okay. Long-term accounting. And again, this is where these guys, Tom Stetson and Max Bookman, were amazingly smart guys. They determined that long-term accounting should also occur. In addition to annual accounting, there should be a long-term accounting. And they decided that it would occur between the 15th and 25th year. So it can't occur before 15 years, but it can't go past 25 years before you do a long-term accounting. And it's based on the average annual rainfall in that period between, as I pointed out before, long-term before the judgment was 18 and a half inches. So between 18 and 19 inches. Bottom line is, if you get to the 15th year and your long-term average for those 15 years, average rainfall was between 18 and 19 inches, it triggers a long-term accounting, which I'll show you how it's calculated. It shows right there how it's calculated. So, and I'm going to show you how amazing it is that they did this back in the early 60s, and we actually hit long-term accounting in either the 15th or 16th year. The first time it could actually be implemented, not on the 25th, but on the 15th. We actually hit that gap between 18 and 19 inches on the 15th year the first time, and on the 16th year, then I get again on the 15th year. Just amazing that these guys did this stuff. So, look, this is how long-term entitlement is calculated. I talked to you before about the amount of long-term annual entitlement prior to the judgment adjudication, almost 100,000, 98,400. You take that number, multiply it times the years in the accounting period, okay, whatever it lands on between 15 and 25, you multiply that, and then you do the ratio of rainfall, okay, during that period divided by the long-term average, 18.52. So you kind of do a long-term bundling of what you do on an annual basis and then see how it compares to what they got during that period. So that's the way it's done. If we go to the next slide, I'll show you what actually happened when we did that. Okay, long-term accounting, this is the accounting for it. Once you've actually done the calculation, credits are added, debits are done as described. They're deducted from prior delivery of reclaimed water, how we have to do it. Same as annual stuff, but long-term accounting results in another action because it basically clears the books. It clears the books on your accounting between upper and lower area. So the first long-term accounting, as I mentioned, between 15 and 25, first time a long-term accounting occurred in the 16th year, and those are the years, resulted in, this is what Tony was talking about, it resulted in us owing them almost 168,000 acre feet. That's a lot of water. One of the problems at the time is, even if we could deliver it to them, they couldn't take it. We didn't have the money to buy it. We couldn't get it. So it put everybody into a jam. So we ended up negotiating an agreement whereby we would deliver it and pay for it through Upper District over a period of 5 years. Some of it we delivered, a big chunk of it, we just sent money down there for them to buy water in the future when they needed it. But we ended up settling that debt over 5 years. So that was the first long-term accounting. That's where we incurred the debt, and that's what initiated the makeup water assessment by Watermaster, is we need to be able to fund this. So Watermaster stepped up and set up that makeup water assessment, which is now not being used. Second long-term accounting occurred on the 31st year. Remember, 15 to 25, we barely went 15 years, and we had another long-term accounting. The long-term average would be 18 to 19 inches. So we did another one. This one resulted in an accrued credit to us of 125,000 acre feet. Good news. So we only put it on the books. It just goes on our books. Third long-term accounting occurred on the 46th year. Once again, 15 plus 31, 46. So between 15 and 25 years, we landed the first opportunity to hit long-term average rainfall. They hit it again, and we had a long-term accounting, and we had another accrued credit of almost 145,000 acre feet. So that's kind of where we've been in long-term accounting. Last slide, I think, yes. The next one is the last slide. This is this year. I've reported this to you at the board. I showed you earlier the 14.5 and the table A, the 68,000 acre feet. That's their entitlement. There's the usable water. I sold you the components of usable water. There's three components of usable water. The usable water they got was 124,000. Therefore, the annual credit, the difference between the two, we got an annual credit this year, total for everything of 56,546 was our annual credit. The accrued credit coming into this year, before this started, was 136,000. We add the 56 to it. Our accrued credit right now is 192,602. Tony pointed out that it's, our credit right now is over 100,000 acre feet. Yeah, it's well over 100,000 acre feet. And his point is very well taken that, yes, we're looking at ways to try to manage the releases of local water to try to keep as much as we can in the upper area. And Tony's, I'll tell you that Tony's been working very hard on that. And it's something that benefits our basin tremendously. We don't need that bigger credit. So we should be keeping more local water in the upper area and not letting it go to the lower area. We could go a few years on a debit and keep that water up here. Anyway, so that's the end of Long Beach judgment. That's less than 20 minutes. I know. I'm dying, Tom. I know. I try to go slow and still cover it. So anyway, Long Beach judgment. We'll just keep going. Main basin.
Question.
Yes.
If the basin or lower basin, even though they have, we have credit, they still need the water, they can pay us. Is that correct? And then we just take the money and try to buy water from MWD.
No, there's no mechanism right now to force them to do that. So what we are trying to get them to do is to tie the protective association through some kind of a mechanism with the river water masters so that instead of them having to pay for it, we would just keep more or spread in a different area of the basin up here when we have that flow on the river and manage down that surplus. What I had said was, it wasn't joking, but it was a concern with Director Trevino being in both basins. He knows a little bit about how that works. And he said, well, heck, you know, why don't we sell him the credit? Well, it's kind of like if I give you the groceries and say a month later, you know, Al, I'm really short. Can you pay me for those groceries I gave you 2 months ago? You may, because you're a nice guy, but most people aren't inclined to pay for something they already have. So if we can keep it up here and then handle it through the River Water Master accounting, in a sense, we're doing the same thing, but not putting a financial burden on either one of the basins. And Linda and Ben Lewis, who are the middle and the upper representatives on the distribution committee, have now brought that to the point of pushing the discussion forward. So with the lower area.
Okay. Yesterday, Steve Johnson mentioned that we brought in 2019, 100,000 acre feet of water. So some of it, is it all for our upper district or some of that is also delivered to the central basin or?
No, that's when Steve talks about that, those numbers, it's either one or the other or a combination of the water we buy from you, Three Valleys, San Gabriel, plus whatever natural flow gets spread. So when we have water like we do in the canyon this year, the lower area is saying, well, we get 50% of that water. And my argument to them or my position has always been, we try as best we can to get 50% on the river. Because they benefit largely when it rains, we don't capture a lot of what we call the valley floor water because it flows south. It flows through the narrows and they get it measured as going into that part of their basin. So those numbers that Steve uses and that are in the report, they're designated by imported and local, but that 100,000 number sounds like the amount that we purchased and put into cyclic through this agreement that Tom and I entered into with Metropolitan to pre-deliver.
For us, thank you.
Yes.
And now that profile we showed earlier, the cartoon that showed the basins, and I showed you where Santa Fe Dam and the Santa Fe Spreading Grounds are, that's where we put that water. because I mentioned that we put it at the upper end of our basin, so it replenishes into our ground and replenishes our groundwater basin. So, you know, a particle of that water may eventually go through the narrows as South River flow, but generally that water is used in our basin. Yes, 100%.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So, main basin judgment. After the Long Beach judgment was entered, you got to kind of get a sense that there was a need for the folks in the upper area to kind of get their stuff together and decide how they're going to manage this basin, because now they have an obligation to the lower area. So there had to be some structure in the upper area to manage the water supplies and the water rights and the resources of the upper area. So they, after the Long, it says they turned to the task of developing a water resource management plan. There's various studies were done. Most of it was done through the Upper San Gabriel Valley Water Association, which is now the water association that meets quarterly. It's the same. It's a group of producers. Tom Stetson was involved in working on these reports, management plans through the association, was hired to do this. This was before he became a water master engineer or upper district engineer. He was just hired to kind of do this stuff. Upper district was ultimately required to act as plaintiff in our upper area only. This is a main basin adjudication. This was a friendly adjudication, what we call a stipulated judgment, where everybody agrees to this, to what the solution is, and you take it to the judge for him to basically stamp it. Upper district became the plaintiff in that. We had water companies that were defendants. The action was filed in 68 and trial was held and the judgment was entered in 1973. So that created the main basin judgment. Next slide, Ruben. So as part of the physical solution, there was a written physical solution. The physical solution is the management plan to how we're going to manage the basin. But basically, the court decreed method of managing the waters of the basin so as to achieve the maximum utilization of the basin and its water supplies consistent with the rights declared. So that was the whole idea of adjudicating the basin. Our office, Stetson, Tom was there. I wasn't here yet because I didn't get here till 77, but this was done right before me. Went through and verified all of the production rights of all pumpers in the San Gabriel Valley in accordance with California water law at the time. So reports were prepared. We still have those here for every producer. We still have those verification reports of all water rights in the San Gabriel Basin. Ultimately, the water rights were verified, totaled up as to what those prescriptive rights were. Then a natural safe yield of the basin was determined, and based upon the difference between the total rights, which was far more than the natural safe yield, each agency was given a percentage of the total prescriptive water rights. They converted an actual acre feet per year to a percentage of the total is what they did. And that's what we have in the judgment right now. And that's how we determine annual pumping rights or annual pumping allocations of the pumpers each year when we set the operating safe yield. So when we added up all of the prescriptive pumping rights, it was up around 200,000 acre feet. If our operating safe yield is only 150,000, then you can see they're only getting about three quarters of their rights. So they're getting about a 25% cut on their prescriptive rights compared to what they're actually allocated to pump that year. So that's how this was all done. That's how the physical solution was set up. It says right there, set operating OSY each year and then allocate the percentage. As you recall, we just did that in May at the Water Master meeting, the first part of this month. We just did the operating safe yield. Watermaster set it at 150,000 acre feet. So people who pump in excess of their allocation, they pay replacement water assessment to Watermaster. Then Watermaster goes to the responsible agencies, upper district being one of those, and then buys the water through the upper district that's delivered and then replenished at the Santa Fe spreading grounds like we talked about in response to Al's question. So that's how it works. We also, at the bottom, there's ability to lease and sell water rights. We call those permanent and temporary transfers. Permanents or sales of water rights, temporary, can be on an annual basis, or they can do it for several years. But they're all basically filed with the Water Master. Water Master doesn't approve them, although we do check them to make sure they make sense. Water Master does. We check them, but there is no approval process. They're just filed with the water master for record keeping. And then there's cyclic storage arrangements where multiple agencies, producers of multiple agencies, have the ability to work with the responsible agencies who deliver the water, pre-purchase water, put it in the basin, have an account that they can draw on for future overproduction of their rights. So that just allows folks to use water when it's available, to buy water when it's available, and then have it available for their use in the future when they might overproduce. So next slide, Ruben. This is very basic. It's about the basin, roughly 170 square miles. We're serving, you guys are serving now, groundwater, surface water supply, well over a million people. It used to be a little over a million. I think it's getting close to a million and a half now. Like 30 retail water agencies, public, private, mutuals that serve municipal customers. Roughly long-term, about 230,000 acre feet is pumped and diverted out of from water supplies out of the basin each year. We've had as much as like 280,000 acre feet in a year actually taken out of the basin. And you'll see going forward, you see right now it's a bit less than that because drought conservation has occurred. We're now down closer to the 200,000 mark for total water taken out of the basin, surface and groundwater. So the next PowerPoint is the basin. Most of you are familiar with this. I'll direct you to a couple of spots here. The upper left-hand corner, you see that diagonal line. Above that is the Raymond Basin. We're going to talk about that at the end, how that interfaces. There are some water agencies that actually straddle that line between the Raymond Basin and the main basin. The other important point is on the lower left side, you'll see Whittier Narrows, very light there, Whittier Narrows. We just talked about the Long Beach Judgment. So this is the watershed of the San Gabriel Basin. That's where it goes right through Whittier Narrows and down into the lower area. So those are kind of the key items. And you can see the freeways there. That you got the 60, 10, 210 freeways are there. So that's the general area. Structure of the water master. Six producer members are elected based upon water rights. There's a formula for your amount of water rights and how many votes you get and how you can apply those votes for producer members. Three public members appointed, two at Upper District, one San Gabriel District. Three Valleys Municipal Water District, used to be Pomona Valley Municipal Water District. They opted out at the time of the judgment. Some of you will recall some years ago, they had a bit of a push to try to get a representative on the water master. Upper District wasn't very, very, very hot on that idea. There was some discussion. I think the water master kind of took the position of, we're not adding a member. If they want to get on, somebody else has got to get off. Upper District, I don't think was real amenable to losing a member. And ultimately, they were rejected. And so we still have Upper District 2, San Gabriel District 1, six producer members, nine member board. All actions are approved by the court. The responsible agencies, these are approximate production amounts. Upper District by far the largest for the basin representatives, about 80%. San Gabriel does about 12, and Three Valleys does about 8%. So that's basically structure. Next slide is just showing the areas of the three responsible agencies. Upper District, you're in yellow there. We got all, those are main water lines and things on that map. But yellow is all Upper District. Green is Three Valleys, and then the little white areas. There's a few white areas in there. Are San Gabriel District. So that just shows you the area along the basin.
Steve, on that.
Can you back up?
Yeah, so on that map, you might ask the question on those percentages, 80% Upper District and 8% for Three Valleys.
Yeah.
Not based on surface areas, based on groundwater production within those
areas. Correct. And you can see that a lot of Three Valleys is shown outside the basin. The basin boundary is shown in black. So the green area, a lot of it in the sort of the southeast portion, that's all outside the basin. The only production occurs is in the upper right-hand corner inside the basin. So, yes, it is production. And it's rough. It's pretty accurate, but it's rough, yes. Next slide. This really is defining supplemental water. It's a very important term to the basin, primarily because we have all kinds of water, but supplemental was defined as non-tributary. That means it comes from outside our tributary or our watershed, imported through a responsible agency. So, again, through a responsible agency. So supplemental water defined by the water master comes through you guys or one of the other responsible agencies. Supplemental water can be delivered as replacement water, RDA water, or for cycling storage accounts. Supplemental water can be imported water. It can also be recycled water, like Carson, for example. Next slide, please. The Keywell is an important component. I think most of you are familiar with it. Our operating range at the Keywell under the judgment is 250, from 200 to 250. The 250 has always been in the judgment. It used to signify a limit when we were not allowed to replenish the basin with imported water if we were over 250. We recently, Watermaster recently went to the judge. We got that taken off because the gravel operators now have the ability to mine gravel underwater, so that restriction has been taken off to allow us more flexibility to manage the basin at higher levels. That will help us a lot when we do the Carson project. Taking that limit off will help us a lot because we will be planning to operate at the upper ends as opposed to the lower ends like we're operating now with that kind of water. Prolonged drought, you're all aware of that. These are factors that impact groundwater levels, as you know, production, replenishment, imported water, untreated imported water deliveries, operating safe field. Higher operating safe yield does a lot of things. It accumulates rights if they're unused. It doesn't incentivize more pumping. It just creates a hindrance to us bringing imported water to replace overproduction because there's less of it. So that's all it does. So next slide. I'm going to show you the Keywell elevation. This is the Keywell elevation as we've done it for years. The one on the top is actual. The one on the bottom is where it would be if we did not provide imported water to the basin, actually cyclic storage water in the basin. So if there was not water in cyclic storage, you would see the lower line, which is black. The top one is what it actually is. So that's just the difference between the two. If we go to the next slide, we've modified it a little bit as a result of the RDA, which is a significant step for the producers and the Watermaster. The top dotted line, again, it's on a little different scale, but the top dotted line is the actual. We added a line in the middle, which is the water level, where we would be without the RDA water delivery or in storage. Okay, this is RDA water that is purchased by the producers for the benefit of the whole basin, not as a water right, not as a pre-delivery of a replacement water. It's delivered for the benefit of it's a supplement to local water supplies. So we've added another line to show where we would be without the work being done on the RDA. Then we have another line at the bottom, which is the same line on the previous graph, which is where we would be without any of the imported water in cyclic storage. So we've added three lines now, primarily because we've got some separation now between where we are and where we would be, which is kind of important without the management work that's been done by everybody, including the upper district. So, the next slide, operating safe yield. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. We just did it. We just set it in May, but here's the factors that we use. There is some key things there to keep in mind. We talk about it a lot, but 1 foot at the Keywell represents about 8,000 acre feet. So when you see the Keywell going up or down, it's about 8,000 acre feet. 8,000 acre feet will supply about 16,000 families, about a half an acre foot each per family. So you can see 1 acre foot means a lot in the basin. It represents a lot of water for people. The basin, the way we operate it, there is no limit on production or if somebody exceeds their rights. We don't stop people from pumping if they need the water. We just have to pay replacement water assessments so we can replace the water. That's how the judgment was set up. Historical replacement obligation averages basin-wide. This is everybody, San Gabriel District, Three Valleys, and Upper District, which is the biggest, about 40,000 acre feet a year is roughly how much water we import to take care of overproduction in the basin. The next slide is pretty basic. It's local water supplies, which we've talked about, imported water, we're all aware of. You see Carson at the bottom. That question mark is going to come off, right, because we don't have it yet. We got a question mark there, but I'd like to see that one disappear. Historical water demands, how they're met, production from the basin, treated water, recycled water, treated imported water, that's how they're met. Now we're down to the annual report for the Watermaster, what it covers. It covers total production. Total production from the basin includes groundwater and surface water, 190,000 acre feet last year. Quite a bit lower than the long-term average, certainly lower than our historic high was almost 280,000. So this is, has to do with a lot of conservation, the drought. That's total production. Operating safe yield was 150,000. It still is. Basin overproduction, you see there, almost 35,000. The amount of imported water delivered, you show there is about almost 100,000. There's your number. And down below, we show you how, who delivered it. Upper District, almost 60. San Gabriel, 15. And Three Valleys, 24,000. So that's the basic components of the annual report. There's a lot more information. Everybody's production is in there, but those are the key big picture components. So Main Bay, Raymond Basin. We added it, as I mentioned, because it, and I showed you where it was, up toward the Pasadena area on the other side of the Raymond Basin Fault. That basin covers about 41 square miles. The basin itself provides about half the demands. The rest are provided by imported water deliveries. So it doesn't provide near as much water as we do here. They don't have the ability, at least not a good mechanism, to bring imported water to replenish their basin. So the judgment was set up to operate on local supplies only. And as you can imagine, this drought has hurt them very badly too. Very difficult for them to manage under these drought conditions. So we've been working. The executive officer up there is your good friend, Tony Zampiello. He brought us on years and years ago to help them with the engineering support. So we do provide some engineering support to Tony and Kelly. But those are the folks that, that are managing things up in the Raymond Basin. You go to the next slide. I'll show you. This is the Raymond Basin. The bottom left-hand corner, that green line that goes diagonally, that is the same line I showed you before. Below that is the Main Basin. That's the, basically the Raymond Fault area. The Raymond Basin is separated into three management zones, sub-area management zones. The Mauk Hill up on the left, Pasadena, which is the largest, and then the Santa Anita, which is over on the eastern side. Santa Anita really is just Arcadia and Sierra Madre. Those are the only two pumpers in that area. But this is just gives you an idea of what the Raymond Basin looks like and how it's managed. And there's some spreading ground shown there also. Historical management, next slide. If the management board, it's not called a water master, they are kind of, but it's called a management board. It involves all producer representatives. It's all the producers or representatives. Same as our judgment, all their actions approved by the court. It's only a groundwater adjudication. They did not adjudicate surface water. They've tried to implement management structures into the judgment that include surface water, but technically it is a groundwater adjudication only. At the time, there were several producers who were diverting surface water into treatment plants and using surface water, but it was excluded from the judgment. Tony and I, we've talked over, we would like to make that change and get it to include everything and get control of all of the water supplies, but that's another big step. That's work for the future. The water rights are fixed every year. The amount of water they can pump are fixed every year. They don't do an annual operating safe yield. They're allowed a 10% overpump that gets deducted from the following year, or an underpump, which they can carry over 10%, but that's it. Beyond that, they lose it or they have to stop pumping. So it's very strict, not near as flexible as the Main Basin where we allow people to pump what they need and we bring water supplies in. So not near as much. Limited opportunity for imported water replenishment. Basically, the only way, the most effective way that we can use imported water to help support the groundwater basin in the Raymond Basin is through in-lieu programs where we have producers in the Raymond Basin that pump groundwater and take surface water from MWD, from their local municipal water district. And one of the ways we can help manage the groundwater basin is have them take more imported water and pump less. So that's basically putting water in the ground in lieu of pumping it. So you basically don't pump it. You take another supply to help manage the groundwater basin. That's our most effective mechanism that we have right now. We've looked at mechanisms over the years, ways to extend the San Gabriel District pipeline, ways to get water into that Raymond Basin. So far, not very successful and very, very expensive. So the next one is kind of the primary reason why we put this here. We wanted to show you folks the agencies that are in the Main Basin, mostly in Upper District, and also in the Raymond Basin. So you'll see we've got City of Alhambra is also in the Main Basin, Raymond Basin. It's part of San Gabriel District. That's not part of Upper District. We've got Arcadia, Cal American, East Pasadena, San Gabriel County, down at the down near the bottom, San Gabriel County Water District. Then we've got Sierra Madre, which is also in the San Gabriel District. The rest of these are all in your district, upper district. And we've got Sunny Slope. So those are the agencies that that you're somewhat responsible for in the upper district, but also have facilities in the Raymond Basin. So that was it. Quick briefing on the Raymond Basin. I'm going to go very quick through this because you guys have seen all this before. Yes.
Steve, let me interrupt you here and check in with the directors. So as we've gone through this, I've realized we've squeezed an entire semester of work into one class.
Yes.
And director, yes. At your discretion, I suggest the rest of this, we'll schedule another workshop with the board to go through the IRP updates. But that's up to the board members. If you want to keep going, we certainly can.
Yeah, it's IRP and the River Water Management Plan, which we'll be talking to you at board meetings anyway.
I agree with that. I think this is great information. I really want to be able to take it in, and I might have to step out in a few. So.
Yeah, great. We're good. And any other questions? Anything that comes to your mind? If you think of something, email me or call me. But any other questions for today?
President, thank you. Steve, again, you know what? I can stay here and listen to you another hour. It was very educational. I know we've seen it before, but every time that you give us a presentation like this, I learn a lot more. So I appreciate what you're doing for us. Thank you.
Good.
President Chavez, could I just make one note before you go off?
Yes, please.
I just want to note that probably 5 or 6 months ago, from my job at the Raymond Basin, I put together a task force trying with the city of Pasadena and upper district to look at options for us to go beyond those programs that Tom talked about that Steve talked about as far as in lieu. And I'm encouraged by upper district's interest. I think, it's fair to say that one of the big players in that basin is City of Pasadena. But I just want to throw the note out there that if Tom and I can work something out to help those folks that are using that portion of the Raymond Basin for their supply, that are upper district folks, it ultimately will benefit in this when you start talking about the IRP. Because if those folks lose their supply from the Raymond Basin, then it just puts more burden on the main, which ultimately puts more burden on upper districts. So we're going to try and keep pushing. I know Pasadena's got a lot of issues, but I think I'm going to keep trying to push and keep everybody's interest and see what we can accomplish there too.
Excellent, Tony. Thank you. So with that presentation by Mr. Johnson, I think the board had a enough questions, but if there's any more questions, I'll entertain that now. Otherwise, we're going to move forward. So, hearing none, so Tom, we'll go ahead and schedule some of the other items for future meetings, because this is something that we definitely need to know and love to hear from as well.
Yeah, certainly will.
Okay, so let's go ahead and move forward. I had one question. Do we still have Trevino with us?
No. In fact, Director Trevino had informed me he did have an appointment, so he did have to leave the meeting right around 10 o'clock.
Okay. Just want to make sure I didn't miss him there. All right. We'll go to item number 9, informational items. In our packets, there are press release articles. You could read those at your leisure. Then item number 10 is our attorney's report. So I'll call on our attorney, Stephen O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A few matters that we've covered since the last meeting. Worked with staff on some waterfill station agreements for the cities of Arcadia and El Monte. Working with Evelyn on some employment-related procedures concerning telecommuting and the impacts of COVID. Some research concerning incompatibility of offices. Worked on the standby charge documents that were before you today. Worked with Evelyn on those. Also worked with the staff on some tenant issues concerning the new office building. Reviewed the the Central Basin legislation and followed up with Speaker Rendon's office concerning the same. Also reviewed the safe yield resolution and reviewed and executed the letter of intent with Metropolitan and Three Valleys for the Carson Recycle, proposed Carson Recycle plant. And that concludes my attorney's report.
Thank you. Director, is there any questions for our attorney? Seeing none, then we'll move over to item number 11, our general manager's report. Mr. Love.
In addition to my written report, a couple of updates. For those staff on the line, you're getting a preview of my all-hands meeting right after this board meeting. We plan to start a phase one transition back into the office on a rotating basis starting next Monday. We've worked through the protocol. Steve mentioned some of the legal review of some telecommuting agreements. So we'll be rolling that out and having the staff come into the office a little more frequently beginning next Monday. As we go forward, we'll figure out what the next phase will be, as we monitor the COVID-19 issue. And then the second one, Steve also alluded to this, is I last reported to the board that it appeared the legislation related to Central Basin was not going to go forward at this time. Late last night, Patty did forward to me a bill that has been introduced by Senator Bradford with co-authors Christina Garcia and Joan Sawyer related to Central Basin. The dissolution and putting them in receivership. So that is officially hit. It has been introduced. So we'll be back on task to monitor that and evaluate the impacts. That's all I have.
Oh, I have a question on that new piece of legislation. Is that similar to what the Speaker Rendon introduced as well?
It's very similar to that that draft that we got out of Rendon's office a few weeks ago.
Okay, so he does have somebody jockeying that issue for us. Okay, no problem. Any questions from our general manager? If not, then we'll move to item number 12, which is director's comments, and I'll start off with Director Santana.
Thanks. I guess my only comment is going to be I had the opportunity to attend the MWD Integrated Resources Plan stakeholder workshop they had on Zoom. I know there are at least a few people here that also attended that, and it was I thought it was a really great presentation by Metropolitan. The Carson Water Project did come up, so it was interesting to hear some of the questions from their area. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Great. All right. We'll go to Director Fellow.
Thank you, Mr. President. First of all, Tom, I'm happy to hear that Steve Bradford's going to go forward with that legislation. He's a very good man. I also attended the IRP along with Charles Trevino, the Met workshop on Friday. And both Charles and I were talking. We were very surprised to hear and very happy that DSAL is part of that IRP, it looks like. So we don't know where we'll go, but it's good to be in the mix. But I thought MWD did a good job. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll go to our Vice President, Contreras.
I have none. Thank you.
Okay. And then for myself, I have no comments as well. We'll go to item number 13, future agenda items. Anybody wish to present any items for future agendas? If not, then we'll go to item number 14, is to adjourn. And before we do that, Tom, is there any other information or duties that we need to dispense with before we adjourn today?
Nope, that covers everything we need to cover today. Thank you.
Okay. Having said that, then no further business before the board, then I will adjourn this meeting. Thank you for attending.
Thanks, everybody.